Let's open with hymn number 239. Of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O Lord, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord God, eternal King, of whom, through whom, and in whom are all things, both in heaven and earth, and who in the Trinity of thy Godhead art one God, we give thee most heartfelt thanks for the multitude of thy mercies which thou hast so graciously showered upon us. Most of all, we thank thee for the... Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to rule and govern our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not, like the rich man, hear thy word in vain and become so devoted to things temporal as to forget things eternal, but that we readily and according to our ability minister to such as are in need, and not defile ourselves with surfeiting and pride. In trial and misfortune keep us from despair, and grant us to put our whole trust wholly in thy fatherly help and grace, so that in faith and Christian patience we may overcome all things, through thy Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Trinity is found in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 4th through the 13th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter, 1 John, verses 16 to 21. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Here ends the epistle. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, verses 19 through 31.
Glory be to thee, Lord.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 467. Morning is found in the fourth chapter of Acts, the 32nd through the 35th verse. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, we live 2,000 years after the Christian church was founded, and we can look back upon the many years between then and now, and we can see that they are marked with strife, heresy, and division. The apostles were not even all yet dead when such division and heresy began to enter into the churches. It's easy to think that there has never been a time when the church has known peace, harmony, and universal faithfulness to God's word. Yet there was such a time. It was a very brief time, and very soon it was marred by false brethren. But there was a time when God's church on earth knew and practiced the unity of the Spirit which Christ Jesus created when he atoned for the sins of the world by his blood and death, and was raised and ascended that he might send his Spirit to create and preserve his church on earth. Our lesson today tells us of that time. It is one of the most beautiful descriptions of brotherly love in all of the Bible. And it is one that we should especially cherish as a Christian church. Consider how it was for these people at Jerusalem, these Christians who now numbered about 5,000, and that was just counting the men. This was the entire Christian church in that day. The time had not yet come when evangelists were sent out all throughout all the world. This was when Saul was not even yet an apostle, but was a persecutor of the church. And so also this was long before the dispersion, when the Christians fled Jerusalem, being warned of its coming destruction, and spread throughout the world, preaching everywhere. This was it. The whole Christian church on earth, all gathered together in Jerusalem. And so, really, at the beginning of the age of the New Testament church, we have a picture of the end. For a brief period of time, we can see how it shall be when Jesus comes again in all of his glory and gathers together his whole church from every part of the world, and takes them to the new Jerusalem which is above, where we shall all live together in perfect love and harmony, in heart and soul united, each member a constant living example of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look around at the visible church today, we are struck how unlike it is to the church at Jerusalem in the first century. It is riddled with division. There are probably as many denominations today as there were Christian men in those days. It is marked by jealousy and envy. Many of its branches are sick and dying, and many of them have already been lopped off the vine, which is Christ, because they have abandoned the faith entirely and only pretend to be the church. So many churches which once preached repentance and the remission of sins in Jesus Christ now tolerate and celebrate those sins and have no place for Christ at all. Even those who deny that there is such a thing as a truth, as a God around whose truth we can be united, as a good and holy God, yet still want to call themselves Christians. In many ways, our churches today are large and prosperous, and they celebrate the good things of life. But meanwhile, on their doorstep is poor Lazarus, who dearly wants to be fed and nourished. He wants to confess his sins and eat the bread of heaven, which is Jesus Christ, to be forgiven his sins by the preaching of the cross, by absolution, and by eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus, which was given for his sins. But instead of the rich and constant food, he must settle for the crumbs. As the church as a whole talks about loving society and the poor and the outcast, the outcasts on their doorstep or in the pews are ignored. And we cannot exclude ourselves from this judgment. We are indeed good, upstanding Lutherans, or so we tell ourselves. We stand upon a clear confession of the truth of God's word. We have not given in to the toleration of such sins. We have clearly called men to repentance and forgiven their sins in Jesus' name. These are all things we tell ourselves that we do faithfully, and we are proud to be doing them. And that pride is our downfall. For all of us at various times have been guilty of elevating our pride in our doctrinal purity and our strong Lutheran heritage above the gospel itself. In our pride, we have covered our own need for constant repentance and our own lack of love for our brethren. And we have even used many times in our history the doctrine of fellowship as an excuse to stifle the witness which we are to make of our faith among men and cut off all interaction with those who are on the outside, so that we no longer seek the unity of the Spirit. And though it is hard work to engage with those from whom we are divided, so that by faithful confession of the truth we might either heal the breaches, or by that same steadfast and loving confession continue to admonish those who stray from the truth, even though we have to part company from them because of their errors. Therefore, look to the example which is before us in these few verses, of the manner in which the love of God once dwelt among all the members of the Christian church. And as you look, learn why they lived in such beautiful love and harmony with one another. For these were not people different than we are. They also lived with their own sins, with their own human flesh. And yet, they were kept, they were united, and they were preserved in one Christian faith. Indeed, though we know we shall not know such unity with all the church until Christ comes again, it is good for us to see how such love should flow, and to remember that we can know such love amongst ourselves in our little corner of the Christian church. For we still have the same Holy Spirit and the same Lord Jesus Christ who loves us and has washed us from our uncleanness, our coldness of heart, and our pride. The heartfelt love which we see among the Christians at Jerusalem is the fruit of Pentecost. This love was not something that the apostles had to force. They did not go around demanding people love their neighbor. The love and unity which the church enjoyed was the fruit of their faith. It was created in them by the Holy Spirit when they heard the preaching of Jesus. They loved because they were loved of God in Christ. They breathed the Spirit of God because He had given them His Spirit in baptism. It was created in them not by their power of persuasion, but by the Holy Spirit working in their midst and in their hearts. He united them together in one because they were all called together under one Lord Jesus Christ. It is important to see that their unity was not unity as men try to find it today. That is a false unity. They didn't create themselves by agreeing to disagree. They did not act as if every man could have his own opinion about the truth. It says they were of one heart and one soul. They thought the same things. They spoke the same word. They loved with the same love of Jesus. This is not the unity that too many want today, where people who have an entirely different mind and a different truth that contradicts God's own word join together anyway in a counterfeit union. They are as far from being one heart and soul today as if they considered one another enemies. God doesn't care about how united we look. He doesn't care about what organizations we belong to. He cares about how united we are together with His Holy Spirit, because His Spirit is not divided. We heard in Deuteronomy's lesson today, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And His Holy Spirit knows no unity other than that of hearts and souls. It is useless to talk about uniting the church when in their heart and souls they are not united. It makes a mockery of the unity which the Holy Spirit creates and sustains. And He creates and sustains it not by political alliances, but by the preaching of His word and the administration of the sacraments as Jesus would have them given to His people. The true unity of the Spirit only comes from hearing God's word, believing it, even when it contradicts our own minds. We see how it was that this unity was maintained at Jerusalem. When it says, with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It was the preaching of Christ crucified and risen from the dead, that their God was not like the God of the nations, who was a figment of man's imagination. They had a Jesus who rose, who truly was died who was dead and rose again. It was the preaching of this gospel that united them all. The truth of the word of Jesus, which his own unassailable resurrection from the dead established, that was the treasure of their hearts. And great grace was upon them all, because they heard this word and they believed it with one mind, one heart, one soul, and they confessed their sins to one another. And they gave the grace of Jesus Christ to one another. They forgave in Jesus' name. Great grace indeed was upon them all. When heart and soul are indeed united by the grace and mercy of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is what we see here. Because they loved one another by the forgiveness of sins, they also showed that love to each other in their lives. Because their love was not just a love of which they spoke, it was true, it was real, it was in their hearts, and therefore they could not but do what was in their hearts. Those who were blessed with property and riches could not stand by when a brother had need, nor was theirs the kind of compassion that men so often exercise today when they give a few coins or of their excess, stuff they have left over in their bank account that they have no immediate purpose for. In the face of their brother's need, they considered that all that they possessed was not their own, but was there to serve the needs of their brethren. And so many of them who possessed lands and goods sold them and gave the proceeds over into the hands of the apostles so that those who were truly in need would not be lacking. Many have assumed that this must have been some form of communism. However, if one carefully reads the New Testament and all the book of Acts and the epistles, one will see quite readily that this was not the case. They did not sell everything that they owned and put it in some sort of communal system and turn the title of their property over to the church for the apostles to decide who lived where and who got what and who had what job and role in the community. In fact, we see that many retained their own homes, and all that was given was freely given voluntarily. No one was required to do this, to be a member of the church. They chose this in every case. It was not that they did not maintain their own property, but that they didn't even consider it theirs anymore, because they knew that God gave it to them so that they might support one another in the Christian faith with love and unity and charity. This is all the more remarkable and truly the model for us all to follow, for under no compulsion, moved solely by their compassion for the need of their brothers and sisters in Christ, these pious people sold their goods to provide for others. The moment a brother had need, they were ready to provide for him. How far we are from such love. And this is indeed the model that we should follow. For even if we do not sell all that we have and have all things in common, it is not true that when a brother or sister, is it not true that when a brother or sister is truly in need, that we should be ready and willing to help them, opening up the treasure of our heart, our time, our talents, even our property, freely and without coercion? Or should we rather be like the rich man in our gospel lesson who let Lazarus suffer on his doorstep, ignoring his needs, letting him be fed merely with the crumbs? Oh, how we lack such love. Therefore, let us all repent together of our hardness of heart, our callous disregard for the needs of our brethren, and our unbecoming pride in whatever accomplishments we may have, whether they are purity of doctrine or any other thing that we have used as an excuse to ignore the needs of our brethren. Our Lord Jesus Christ is still with us. He is still with you. He looks upon your failure, your sin, your pride, your lack of love. He sees that you are on his doorstep and that you are broken and wounded. And he does not turn you away, even though you are a beggar who is starving and bereft. He loves you freely, out of the goodness of his heart, moved simply by your great need. He gave all that he had for you. He sold his own life over into the most shameful death of the cross and poured out his blood, and he laid down his life at the feet of his Father so that he might share the riches of his goodness with you in your great need. He has given you his own goodness, his own righteousness, which you lacked. He has bound up your wounds, and he has made you to sit at his table, and he will never turn you away in your need. For he has so much righteousness that he has already covered all your sins. Come and continue to dwell here at his table. Eat and drink of his love for you until you eat and drink it together with all Christians everywhere. And know again the perfect unity of the Spirit and the bond of eternal love, which is yours and ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O Lord God, King eternal, of whom, through whom, and in whom are all things, both in heaven and earth, and who in the Trinity of thy Godhead art one God, we give thee heartfelt thanks for the multitude of thy mercies which thou hast so graciously showered upon us. Most of all, we thank thee for thy great love, and for the priceless gifts which thou hast given in Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, whom thou didst send for our salvation. We thank thee for the forgiveness of our sins, which he has won for us, that thereby we may be delivered from death and the devil's power, and granted everlasting life. O Lord, who first loved us, grant that we may love thee with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. Teach us to walk as obedient children in thy commandments, and as we struggle against the powers of spiritual darkness in all of our temptations, give us the strength to overcome them by the constant remembrance that in thy Son we are redeemed from the devil's power. And as thou didst anoint thy church with the Holy Ghost and with power, help her everywhere throughout the world among all people and tongues to declare thy wonderful works to the end that multitudes may come to thy light. Look in mercy upon the nations of the world and grant them thy peace. Especially we beseech thee to bless our own land. Give the spirit of wisdom and understanding to all who rule over us. Banish vain ambition and love of power and luxury.
Upon our homes, let the sunshine of thy love descend, and grant that our children may be reared in thankful devotion to thee, and all their days walk in thy praise. We entreat thee, O loving Father, for thy mercy and grace upon all who face adversity or trial. Be the health of the sick, the joy of the sorrowing, the staff of the aging, the companion of the lonely, and the strength of the weak. Grant us all these petitions, O Lord, for the sake of him who died, that we might ever live unto thee. Amen. We sing hymn 391. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 54. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.